Hark, the herald angels sing. And what were they singing? Glory to the newborn king. Stop, 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 stop. That's not right yet. Actually, the angels sang, glory to God in the highest heaven, which, when translated later into Latin, comes out, Gloria in excelsis Deo, but that is a totally different song, so let's just keep going. Peace on earth, they did say that, and mercy mild. Nope. Nothing about Mercy, nothing about McQuaid, nothing about Canandaigua or Victor. But I think that the author included that line because he needed something to rhyme with the next line. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Reconciled is a word that we don't use much these days. It means to get back together as friends with people you don't much care for. Reconciled is what a husband and wife do after they've gotten so mad at each other they've separated. Reconciled is what a brother and sister do after many years of not speaking to each other. Reconciled is what the people in Cleveland and LeBron James will never do. But with the birth of Jesus, God and sinners would soon be reunited. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem, and because of that, Earth's major problem would be solved. And whoever can fix what's wrong with what's going on in our lives today deserves the light show that they got in the sky that night. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. But the part that I wanted us to think about today is those to whom God's angels announced these tidings. His son's being born is a big deal for a father when his son is being born. Who he wants to first tell about that says something about the father, right? So to whom did our Father, which art in heaven, send his initial birth announcement? By the way, the word angel just means messenger. Angels are God's way of sending messages. So pretty much angels were just an early form of texting. So who got the first text from God about his son's safe arrival on our planet? Shepherds. Shepherds? Shepherds. Workers, common laborers, hourly employees. Shepherds are like janitors or garbage men or dishwashers or preachers. You know, guys with no real talent required. Anybody can do this job. Shepherds. The major skill needed to get a job as a shepherd is the ability to stay awake. And not even that, really. Sheep can be trained to go to and stay in a certain area at night. When my dad and a couple guys from his church went to Kenya on a missions trip, one night they were told that they could sleep in an empty hut. So they both went in and they went to sleep, but they woke up in the middle of the night with 20 sheep licking their feet and a young shepherd boy asleep on the ground next to them. He had trained his sheep to come into that hut and he would close the door and go to sleep all night. Shepherds were not well paid, they were not well respected, they were not well scented. It was a manual labor job, it was boring, repetitive, thankless, kind of like being an airline pilot. I heard a pilot once say that most people thought he had such a glamorous job, but in fact he was a glorified bus driver whose job was 99% dull routine and 1% sheer panic. Shepherding was exactly like that, except without the excitement, or the pay, or the prestige. So when God decides who's going to get to see his firstborn, his newborn son first, why would he select shepherds? They were just out working one night. They punched in at midnight. They settled down for another long night on the job when an angel pops up and he says, I know something you don't know. Well, actually, the angel said to them, verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And when that happened, what do you think the shepherds were thinking? When the angel appeared and said that to them, did they say, oh yes, as the scriptures will one day say, for God so loveth the world that he gave it his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall not die, but have eternal life? Or did the shepherd say, I gotta quit eating jalapenos after 11 o'clock. Did the shepherd say, my wife is gonna think that I'm drinking again? Did they say, wow, I think that angel actually is hovering? They're just regular guys on the job when they get a text from heaven. Why in the world would God choose to send it to them? I think we can learn a really important lesson from God's choice of those who first heard the good news of his son's birth. In fact, I think this is one of the most radical, life-changing, un-American ideas in all of Scripture. But before we get to that idea, just for the sake of building tension, let's check out a different idea. The angel had given shepherds a clue as to which newborn baby was God's special agent. The angel said, "This will be a clue for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Now, the first part of that, wrapped in cloths, every baby back then was wrapped in cloths. Every baby now is wrapped in cloths. We used to call this swaddling, but that word is hardly ever used anymore. My niece-in-law just gave birth to a little girl. Her name is Abrael Christine Lynn Campbell. And we were texting pictures around the whole family after the birth. One of the pictures,
you got that?
Yeah. This picture was captioned, "Abrael meets her great-grandpa." And then it had a smiley emoji. And someone added after that, "Oh, fantastic picture," clap, clap emoji. And then my nephew Ian wrote, "All-time classic, J-O-W is the goat." And then Ian added underneath, "Also, just a note, but the swaddling looks very well done." And my mom texted back, "You would know, Ian, because you were well swaddled." And I thought, nobody uses that word anymore. Why do we keep saying that? Anyway, the shepherds would not be able to tell which baby was the right one just from the swaddling. Did you hear about the mother who gave birth to twins? But this was back before the father was allowed into the birthing room. So the mom gave birth to twin boys. They had decided that they were going to name their boys Juan and Amal. So the nurse brought one baby out into the waiting room to meet the father. And the father asked, "Which boy is this?" And the nurse said, this is Juan. And father held the baby and looked at him and was just so overjoyed to have the baby. He kissed him. And when the nurse started to take the baby away, the dad said, wait, I want to see my other son too. And the nurse said, "Well, they're identical twins. If you've seen one, you've seen them all." The wrapped in cloth part would not distinguish one newborn from another in Bethlehem. But the lying in a manger thing, that was a big clue. If an angel appeared to you and said, "I want you to go to Bloomfield and find a baby boy that was born today, wrapped in a blanket, and sleeping in a box of kitty litter," you would probably recognize that baby when you found it, or maybe even several feet away. So Luke says, when the angels had left them, gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord told us about." And how could they not? They've just been told a most extraordinary thing by extraterrestrials, and they want to check it out to see if it's true. Kind of like Thomas later, who they said, "Can't really believe this until we see it with our own eyes. Let's go look." Personally, I think God is great. God requires us to trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Scripture says. So at some point, we have to bet on more than we can see about God. But he always gives us evidence pointing in his direction. I am so glad that we are not required to commit intellectual suicide to become Christians. You don't have to be an idiot to follow Jesus. In fact, that doesn't even help. Because the more you study, the more you uncover. The cooler the coincidences, the better stuff gets as you look at it. God doesn't go so far as to prove himself, but he does supply ample reasons for us to believe in him. And after you check out the evidence, trusting God is the most reasonable thing to do. We can't prove God beyond a shadow of a doubt, but it's nothing to be embarrassed about either. If you believe everything in the Bible is true like I do, if you follow Jesus' directions for life like I do, some people will treat you like your IQ is probably equivalent to your shoe size. And it's hard not to bristle when people challenge us and just say we're stupid because we believe this stuff. Tony Campolo is a Christian writer and professor in a Bible college, and he was talking with his seatmate on a plane one time. The guy he's talking to was obviously an intelligent man, and somewhere in every conversation, Tony always tries to interest the other person in talking about Jesus. So he eventually got to that point in their conversation, and he tried to bring the subject up, at which point the intellectual guy sitting next to him said, wait a minute, what are you, a preacher or something? And Tony said, "Well, actually, yes." And the guy said, "Well, I just think faith is for the simple-minded. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." So Tony said, well, okay, well, what do you do? And the guy said, well, I am an astrophysicist, but I certainly wouldn't understand, I would expect a creature to know anything about my line of work. And Tony said, nah, I kind of think astrophysics is for the simple-minded. You know, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Some of the best minds in history have chosen, based on the evidence available, to bet their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on Jesus. For instance, George Washington, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, C.S. Lewis, Benjamin Rush, Charles Colson, Antonin Scalia, David Barton, Ben Shapiro, Ravi Zacharias, Cheryl Fry. Geniuses. Genii, I guess is plural. Who have all chosen to follow Jesus based on what they've seen and heard and figured out about life. They went to the end of the evidence, and instead of taking a leap of faith into the dark, they stepped confidently forward based on the light. The shepherds had just heard a crazy thing, so they went to check it out, and they found Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. You know, we've discovered with modern technology that virgins actually can conceive and give birth to babies. It's been done. And probably the God who made our bodies probably could have figured that out before we did. Offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. The Bible says Jesus is God. See the Godhead here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Some people have laughed at that idea. They say, oh, you talk about God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. They say, you're so dumb. That's three. You don't understand math. 1 + 1 + 1 does not equal one. And I always say, when people bring that up, I always say, oh, I understand math. You just don't understand God. God the Father is God, and God the Son is God. And God, the Holy Spirit, is God. And you're right. 1 + 1 + 1 doesn't equal one, but 1 × 1 × 1 equals one. You're just using the wrong function. Hail the incarnate deity. The incarnate deity. The deity who is incarnate, which, being interpreted, means God in a body. Deity had taken on flesh. Carne, carnate, is the Latin word for body, for flesh, for meat. Chili con carne is chili with meat. Reincarnate means to put your spirit back in the body. Art Carney was a guy on the Honeymooners. I don't know why I brought him up. And if everybody in America drove a red car, we would be a red car nation. But I digress. Hail the incarnate deity. Hail. Say hi to the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to appear. Jesus, our Emmanuel here. Emmanuel means God is here, right here with us now, with meat on his bones. And when the shepherds knocked on the door and they asked to see the baby, they knew he was the one the angels told them about because he was right there in a manger. And they knew he was Messiah because that means God's chosen one. Because that's what the angel told them. But what that baby was here to do, why God chose to come and live with us, that would all come later. Like in verse 3. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. And was he not the most amazingly good man who ever lived? So much that even people who don't follow him still acknowledge his birth 2,000 years later. And does he not give light to those of us who have walked in darkness all of our lives? Did he not give life back to the little girl and the widow's son and his friend Lazarus and the guy in the cemetery? And could he not heal whatever was wrong every time? Was he not an amazing man? Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Have you ever thought about that? That we could be born over again? That we could try it again? Would you like a mulligan on life? Have you ever done something that you really so much wish that you could take back? Like I read that saying I'm sorry and saying I apologize means the same thing, except if you're at a funeral. You'll get it later. Jesus, the Son of God, became a man so that men could become sons of God. Christmas is a big day, but Easter is what the angels had in mind when they were shouting, "Glory to the newborn King." And you know who God announced all that to? First, shepherds. Lowly, unimpressive, poor, illiterate, midnight shift shepherds. Really big news, biggest news ever up to that point, and God tells shepherds. Our series this month is called Supernatural. As we look at the odd combination of how God does stuff, mixing super and natural all together. So does the announcement to the shepherds teach us anything about that? Oh yes, it does, because I looked and I looked and I looked this week, and I dare you to prove to me from Scripture that there were any more than three of them. It says shepherds, plural, so we know there was more than one. I'm guessing there were three, because when at least two of them take off to see the baby, one has to stay with the sheep. But probably this huge angelic explosion in the sky that night was put on for a grand total of three shepherds. And until I researched it, I always assumed that there were like seven or eight or ten, because that's usually how many are in church Christmas plays that are put on. But would it surprise you if there were only three, and if those three happened to be three teenage boys watching sheep? It could have been shepherds, ordinary guys, I'm telling you, doing ordinary jobs. They were just out there. Did you hear about the guy playing chess with his friend? He's playing chess, and he said, "Hey, let's make this more interesting." So they stopped playing chess. That's like shepherding. It's boring. Nobody wants to be a shepherd. It's not a good job. It's about as exciting as spit. And yet God announces his son's birth first to them. Why shepherds out in the fields at night? Why not the clergy in the temple during assembly? How about doctors or chefs or newscasters or bankers, people who had something to offer? Why didn't the angels appear to Herod or Caesar or the whole Jewish nation at once? But no. God sends a text to guys with no obvious pull, no great resources, no real help. They've got nothing to offer except being there. And the shepherds found the baby, and they praised God for the baby. And that was pretty much it. And that was pretty much just what God was looking for. So here's what that tells me. That tells me that God does not need fancy schmancy to get stuff done. God doesn't need lots and lots of bling. He doesn't need lots and lots of people. He doesn't need lots and lots of smart and beautiful and powerful. His church is not dependent on cleverly devised schemes to succeed. God does not need a conservative Christian in the Oval Office for his kingdom to advance in America. God does not need a flawless, perfectly staged, perfectly timed, perfectly sounded worship assembly to help people come to him. I have always known that God can accomplish his will with whatever's available, but I also assume that we could do better if we had several impressive and successful people right in the middle of what we're doing. Once some of us went to a conference and we heard a guy, and this guy, he said, "You will never get people in your church higher than your preacher." He said, "If your preacher's a 9, you will never get 10s to be part of your church. If your preacher's a 7, you'll never get 8s or up. You cannot keep and attract and keep people above where your preacher is." And he said, "And if you want your church, the church you're part of, to do great things, you're going to need a bunch of great people." So as we were sitting there listening to that, that really worried me. This guy was a really good speaker. He made a lot of sense about a lot of things. Afterwards, the group that went, we talked about it, and they were all very kind of nice. But I honestly left thinking that day, I would say about a 3, which means this church is never going to do anything big. And I called myself a 3 because, well, some of you have seen my mechanical abilities. Some of you have heard my singing abilities, you know my social skills, You know what my house looks like. Some of you know what my office looks like. What do you get when you throw a grenade into a fancy French kitchen? When a grenade goes off in a fancy French kitchen, linoleum blown apart. And that's what my office looks like. My cars, you know, both have over 140,000 miles on them. I read my sermons. I'm not a snazzy dresser. I've never spoken in a national conference. I don't tell very good jokes. If you put it all together, you come out with about a 3, which meant Willowbrook is destined for not very good. And I'm kind of Calvinistic. And I think, oh, once a 3, always a 3. And I didn't like that, but I didn't know what to do about it. But the one thing that I've got that got me up to a 3, and all the people who are with me agreed, I am so sure that people are better when they trust Jesus. They are better off in life when they trust Jesus. And I'm willing to try things, I'm willing to try anything to get people to see that. That's what got me to a 3. So we had some guys who were leading our church then, shepherds, kind of keeping watch over our church. And those guys agreed that with God's help, we should do better than a 3 for him. They said, let's just try. So we built a new pen, and we hired some more workers, and we advertised on WBPE. I mean, we were willing to try anything. To find people who might be looking for good food. And when this church decided as a group to try, God started sending us a bunch of people. People who we found out as we met them and got to know them, they were way above a 3. People who loved Jesus and people who loved other people like nobody's business. People who have been blessed by God with lots of resources in life. People who were gifted in areas we didn't even know we had needs in until we saw their gifts. People who made life a lot better for everybody around once they were there. People who just like to serve. They like to do stuff in the background and that was it. They just like to do it. Now, I still can't sing, and I still read my sermons, and I can recognize a wrench like 2 out of 3 times. But our church has filled up with a bunch of good people, in spite of what John Maxwell told me. Because God doesn't need the gifted. He needs the willing. God can provide everything we need to do his good stuff, except for our willingness. That's what we bring to the table. But when we do, God makes good stuff happen. Look at Gideon, look at Amos, look at Peter, look at me. And yet, when we're open to what God can do, no matter how unimpressive you feel, Jesus can make big stuff happen through you. So Luke says they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. God chose them, these guys, as ordinary as they can be, and they got to be the first ever tellers of the best ever news. And God chooses us, ordinary though we might feel, to be the same, to tell the same great news. We get to tell people, which makes us extraordinary. Did you hear about the Maharaji who declined Novocaine when he was getting his tooth pulled? Yeah, he wanted transcendental medication. Transcendental medication? You'll get it later. Or not. If you want to transcend typical American thinking today about who you are and what you can do, here's the big lesson. God is not into big. He is so not impressed with impressive. God values normal. God enjoys ordinary. God likes common. He doesn't need the fanciest, the brightest, the prettiest, the most. God is not limited to only working through woo-hoo. And if you've ever felt like you're just not enough, like there are others who are so far ahead of you, and you could never catch up to them in 1,000 years of trying, Like you couldn't possibly matter because nobody would even notice if you're there or not there. Then you are exactly the kind of person that God first told his son about. Not the bigwigs, not the smart guys, not the rich, not the popular, not the famous. God put on the best light show ever for three guys. And in heaven's budget that year, one line said, baby announcement. 2,000 angels, rehearsal time 90 minutes, performance time 30 minutes, equaling 4,000 angel hours at $100 an hour equals $400,000 plus costumes and transportation for a total cost of $500,000. This show cost $500,000, and God did it for three teenage boys, and he thought it was one of his best expenditures that December. For you, God would have done it. For you. In fact, he did. Because he really likes you, no matter how other people might rate you. In fact, it seems as though those are his favorite people to invite to work on his team. Kids who have no fathers. Ladies who have no husbands anymore. People who are struggling to pay for food. People who go to bed afraid at night. People who nobody sits with at lunch. People who never get invited over. The plain people, the ordinary people, the hourly wage earners. Apparently, God likes people like that so much that he became one when he had the choice. And when he was looking for people with whom he could work, to whom he could entrust the most important news ever, God picked shepherds. So Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, the evil one's trick is to convince us that we don't have a chance, both in our own lives and in helping others. But the truth is that with you, if we ask for your help, we always have a chance. In fact, we can do important things. I pray that you would help us through your Spirit to see the truth of how you see us, and that we would jump on board with you. I pray that in Jesus' name and through him. They offered sacrifices in the temple on a regular basis. It was Passover. It was the time when they were supposed to kill the lamb, and they were supposed to use the lamb to remind them that God had saved them by the blood of the lamb. And at that time, they killed Jesus. And in God's way of orchestrating the whole world, he died during Passover as kind of the fulfillment of a lamb who could die so that no more lamb would ever have to die, so that we wouldn't have to pay for what we had done wrong. We're going to remember what he's done for us now. With bread and juice, we'll pass that out, and if you hold on to that, if you'd like to remember him in that way with us, and we'll eat and drink after this song.
Take the city and send for of salvation's world. With fear and trembling, your weapon as my own, as Christ is born in me. Hallelujah, I live my life in remembrance. Hallelujah, your promise I will forget. If ever I say if ever I deny your breath, remind me of the price you paid. Hallelujah, I live in remembrance. If ever I deny your words, remind me of the price you paid. Hallelujah, I live in remembrance. You be so, so good to me. You be so, so good to me. But to think where I would be is not for you, is not for you. You be so, so good to me. You be so, so good to me. But to think where I would be if not for you, if not for you. Thank you. saving Christ the Son. Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. God will rise again. Oh, I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender, suffer and crucify. Goodness is in you. The same angel died, you was in glorious light. Ever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. My God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. I will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe in those living. Yes, I believe. Cause I believe in you. I believe in those living. Cause I believe that Jesus loves us more. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints coming in the holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. My God is true. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the rising again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe. The name of Jesus.
Here are the announcements. You can get them loudly or not at all.
Here are the announcements. If you found a textbook saying that you were here today, we would appreciate that. We enjoy reading your name, whatever you write. We like that. Thank you for doing that. We have things happening this afternoon, or this morning. There's still stuff afterwards. So we're going to show The Chosen, episode 2, which is a fascinating... Did I do that? Oh. This is a fascinating video series about Jesus. That's brand new, and we're showing them, and you can come watch if you'd like. It's about 40 minutes worth of watching. It starts at 11:30. There's also a Bible school class for teenagers happening at 11:30 today. Then, tonight at 6 o'clock, our youth group is delivering stuff for the office. We're delivering stuff. What is wrong? Say Office of Aging. Did I? Okay, for the Office of Aging, that's who we're delivering stuff for tonight. There are a whole bunch of gifts that need to get out there, and they asked if our youth group would do that, so we said yes. So we are leaving the building tonight at 6 p.m.
Some of you don't usually get here right on time. The building will be unoccupied if you get here after 6 p.m. We're leaving tonight so that we can go do all that stuff, drive around Victor and Harmington and deliver gifts. So that's happening tonight. That'll be fun. Also, this week, other things are happening, but on Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning, there's a men's breakfast, which is the second ever men's breakfast, I think, here. And at these, I was not here. Sorry, I was out of town last time. This would be my first men's breakfast. There is bacon, I was told. And there's an interesting video and discussion, and there's a hard stop at 9 o'clock. So 8 to 9, guys, if you'd like, we invite you to come and hang out with us and eat bacon. Is that correct? All right, then it's got to be. And there'll be baklava. I said it. And there's got to be.
It's harder.
Okay. And I wanted to say one more thing. Oh, yesterday we hosted part of the Day of Giving, annual Day of Giving in Victor, when a bunch of churches and a bunch of businesses and people in town just choose to be generous with people who otherwise wouldn't have it as good this Christmas season. So we had hats and scarves and mittens out there that we got, and it was good. Thank you, that was good. But in this room, people had donated from all over Victor and Farmington. How many gifts? What did we say, Paul?
It was over 300 kids. We still had a few more that came in late, but the latest number we saw was over 300 kids, and they each got two gifts each, plus a whole table worth of other stuff that Bloomfield Church has given us. So.
There were two gifts. There were two gifts for 300 kids, and then the back quarter of the building had extra things, more toys and gifts and books and stuff, and they could just take it if they wanted. And then there was boxes of food up here for all the families, and it was just an amazingly good thing. And when we built this building, we said, let's do as much good as we can for this area. And there are a whole bunch of people, and it's kind of, you ever see the Seinfeld episode about Big Salad? Where Jerry or somebody got credit for bringing the big salad, even though he didn't bring it, he just got it handed to him at the door, and then it looked like he brought it. So we didn't buy all these gifts for everybody, but they came to our building and got them. So it's kind of a big salad for us. But they needed some place to hand out all these gifts, so it's a good thing, right? So we were helping. That's a good thing. It was a great 4.5 hours yesterday as Victor and Farmington got better. It would be good if people said, oh, that church, yeah, we know them. They help. That'd be good. So we're trying to do that. Thanks for joining. Okay, that's all I got. Have I forgotten anything? Do I dare go back closer to the microphone? No.
Yeah.
Thank you for being part of what we do here today and always. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the chance that we had yesterday to help a bunch of people. We appreciate you giving us this place and our resources so that we can make a difference. But more than that, thank you for being kind to us and giving us way more than two presents each. Help us to realize that you do that because you love us and that we matter to you and that we can matter for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed. Thank you.